Praise the Lord. Today we have come to the study of lesson 14 in our study series of the Synoptic Gospels, which are the Gospels of Matthew, Mark and Luke. In the previous lessons, we started discussing about the king's ministry, how the king's ministry began, and at the beginning of his ministry, how he gave the decrees for the kingdom's constitution. This was lesson number 11. And while the king on the top, in the Sermon on the Mount, was explaining about the decrees that he wanted from the kingdom people, there were seven sections how we categorize the decrees that the king gave out in the Sermon on the Mount. In lesson number 11, we looked at the first two sections, which was concerning the nature of the kingdom people and concerning the influence of the kingdom people. In lesson number 12, we looked into the decrees concerning the law of the kingdom people. Lesson number 13, which was the last lesson, we looked at the section 4 and 5, which was concerning the righteous deeds of the kingdom people and concerning the material riches of the kingdom people. We have come to the come to lesson number 14, and in this lesson we are going to look into the last two sections of the decrees that the king had given to his people. We are going to concentrate on Matthew chapter 7 in this lesson, and Matthew chapter 7 can be divided into two different sections, which is going to be section 6 and 7 of the decrees of the king's constitution. Chapter 7 verses 1 to 12, we will be discussing on the decrees of the king concerning the principles of the kingdom people in dealing with others, which is very important. And and the last and the seventh section will be the decrees concerning the ground of the kingdom people's living and work. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. And and as we have come to the sixth section of the new king's decree on the mountain, we are going to look from verses 1 to verse number 12, which is concerning the principles of the kingdom people as we deal with others. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 1. Do not judge, that you be not judged. The kingdom people living in a humble spirit under the heavenly ruling of the kingdom will always look to judge themselves and not others. The king has decreed that we should not have a judgmental and a critical attitude towards other people. Verse number 2, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you. So under the heavenly ruling of the kingdom people will be judged with what they judge others. If you judge others with righteousness, you will be judged by righteousness, you'll be judged with righteousness by the Lord. And if you judge others with mercy, you will be judged with mercy by the Lord. And in the case of the kingdom people, mercy should always triumph over judgment. Mercy should always triumph over judgment. In the Epistle of James chapter 2, when we look at verse number 13, James is speaking about us not judging other people. And in verse number 13 it says that for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So this is the attitude that the kingdom people should always adopt in dealing with others. Do not have a judgmental attitude, but be merciful, just like the Heavenly Father is merciful. Verse number 3. And why do you look at the splinter which is in your brother's eye, but there is a beam in your eye that you do not consider? So as the kingdom people living in a humble spirit under the heavenly ruling of the kingdom, we must consider the beam or a plank in our own eye whenever we look at the splinter in our brother's eye. Actually, the splinter in our brother's eye should remind us of the beam in our own eye. So before we go into pointing a finger at somebody else and jumping into conclusions, we must first look into ourselves and see the greater faults that we have in our life. And that is what Jesus is speaking out here. As long as the beam remains in our eye, what happens is that our vision is blurred and we cannot see clearly. So in verse number 6, as you consider down, Jesus says that, how can you say to your brother, let me remove the splinter from your eye, and behold, there is a beam in your eye? Hypocrite, first remove the beam from your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye. So we need to understand that our vision is blurred because there is a plank or a beam in our own eye which is showing the greater faults in our life, which is the hidden sins in our life. And we have to discover the hidden sins within us and ask God for forgiveness and try to remove them before even we point out the faults of other people. Verse number 6 says that, do not give that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the hogs, lest they trample them with their feet and turn and tear you. What does it mean here? That which is holy must refer to the objective truth, which belongs to God. Your pearls must refer to the subjective experiences, which are our own. Now, we see here two kinds of animals. Dogs do not have hooves, neither do they chew the cud. And hogs have divided hooves, but do not chew the cud. So, according to the Levitical laws, as we read in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 27, and also verse number 7, we read that they both are unclean. Both the dogs and the hogs are unclean according to the Levitical law. According to the revelation that we are seeing in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 12 and verses 19 to 22, let us read here. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 12, and this is what it says: but these, like natural brute beasts, must be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. Verses 19 to 22 reads like this: while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the ways of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, is wallowing in the mire. So both the dog and the hog are mentioned in this prophetical parts of 2 Peter chapter 2. Next, if we read Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 2, Apostle Paul, as he writes to the church in Philippi, he is writing that beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. So this is definitely, as we understand, they are the people within the church. It's not speaking of outsiders. It is speaking of people who are outwardly religious but are not clean inside, which means they are not living as kingdom people. They have all the outward form of a religious activity as they come to church, maybe being a member of a church and taking part in religious activity, but their inside is full of filth and uncleanness. And there is a greater judgment that awaits these kind of people. Verse number 7. Jesus is speaking to us and giving us certain promises. Verse number 7 says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. There is a progression here as we see in this verse. First ask, then seek, and lastly knock. Now, to ask is to pray in a common way. To seek is to supplicate in a specific way. And to knock is to demand in the most intimate and the most earnest way. So, this is a progression. Ask, seek, and knock. And verse number 8 says, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks will find, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. So, this part of the king's promise of this verse is applicable to the prayer of the kingdom people concerning their keeping of the new law in the kingdom. They ask for this and will receive it. Where they say ask and receive. Now it says he who seeks finds. This part of the kingdom people is applicable to Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So it says that he who seeks finds. The kingdom people seeks the Father's kingdom and his righteousness and will find them in their lives. And lastly it says, he to him who knocks, it shall be opened. Now, this part of the promise is applicable and applied as you knock the gate, the narrow gate in verse number 14, and it's open. The narrow gate will be open to the kingdom people as a result of their knocking, so that they can take the narrow way to the king, to the kingdom of God. Then Jesus gives some specific examples and says, what man is there among you who, when his son asks him for a loaf, will he give him a stone? Or when he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? And verse number 11 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in the heavens give good things to those who ask him? When you examine this verse number 11, there is a parallel verse in Luke 11 verses 13, where it is the Holy Spirit instead of the good things that is mentioned there in Luke. In Matthew, this verse says that how much more your Father who is in heaven gives good things. So while it is mentioned as good things in the Gospel of Matthew, in the exact parallel words in the Gospel of Luke, it is mentioned as the Holy Spirit. Why is it that? Because Luke is emphasizing the blessings of the Gospel. The center of the blessings of the Gospel is actually the Holy Spirit. As an evidence, let's turn to Galatians chapter 3 and verses 8 and verses 14. Galatians chapter 8, verse number 8 and verse number 14. Verse number 8 says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed." And verse number 14 says that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the blessings of the gospel that we read here, which would justify the Gentiles by faith, which are also called the blessings of Abraham, the center point of the blessings is the promise of the Holy Spirit that we receive through faith. So when we come back to this particular verse, since Matthew is stressing on the kingdom of the heavens, good things should refer to the blessings of the reality of the kingdom, which is revealed in chapters 5 through chapters 7. And these blessings are given as gifts to the kingdom people. So according to the context, if you understand, the blessings here refer to the kingdom people. And Luke is explaining about the Holy Spirit as a center point of the blessings of the gospel. Verse number 12. "Therefore, all that you wish men would do to you, so also you do to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So the new law of the kingdom does not contradict the law and the prophets. Rather, it fulfills them and even complements those laws. So the core of dealing with other people, and this is given in verse number 12, this is the key point of how we should deal with other people, is that how you would like others to deal with you, that is the same way you need to deal with them. And that is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. So this ends the section number 6 concerning the principles of the kingdom people in dealing with others. The 7th and the last section of the king's decree is from verses 13 to 29, which concerns the ground of the kingdom people's living and work. In verse number 13, it says, "Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter in that." That leads to destruction. In the literal words, it says it leads away into destruction. It says the destruction here actually does not refer to the perishing of the person himself, but to the destruction of the person's deeds and works. If we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 15, we read here like this: "If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Verse number 14, because narrow is the gate and constricted is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. The gate is narrow and the way is constricted because the new law of the kingdom is stricter and the demand of the kingdom is higher than the law and the demand of the old covenant. The narrow gate deals not only with the outward conduct but also with the inward motive. The old man, the self, the flesh, the human concept, and the world with all its glory are excluded. Only that which corresponds with God's will can enter in. The kingdom people must first enter in through such a narrow gate and then walk in such a constricted way. It is not that they first walk in the way and then they enter in through the gate. Rather, to enter into the gate is simply to begin walking in the way, a way that is a lifelong process and that ends with the death. It says that the way it leads to life. The life here refers to the ever-blessed condition of the kingdom, which is fulfilled with the eternal life of God, which is filled with the eternal life of God. The life is in the reality of the kingdom today and will be in the manifestation of the kingdom in the coming age. If you see in Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 29, we read like this: and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. We also read in Luke chapter 18 verses 30. Actually, let's read verses 29 and 30. So he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. So we see here the life, the eternal life, is the reality of the kingdom today and will be the manifestation of the kingdom in the coming age. Verse number 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, for inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Jesus is speaking to the kingdom people because we are sheep in the hand of the shepherd, who is Jesus Christ. So as a sheep, and as we live in the simplicity of our life, we should always be cautioned that there are some false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will recognize them. And then Jesus speaks about some examples. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree produces good fruit, but the corrupt tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, neither can a corrupt tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. So then, by their fruits, you will recognize them. We are cautioned to understand that we should not literally accept every prophecy or every prophet who says, thus say the Lord. Because Jesus has specifically warned us that there will be prophets who will come as in the sheep's clothing, but inwardly they will be ravenous wolves who are there to tear people apart, tear churches apart, tear families apart. And we should be very cautious of these kind of prophets who come and try to minister in our midst. Verse number 21. So not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but he who does the will of my Father who is in the heavens. To enter into the kingdom of heavens, we need two things. Number one, we need to call on the Lord. And number two, we need to do the will of the Heavenly Father. To call on the Lord is sufficient for us to be saved. As we read in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13, it says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So to call upon the Lord is for us to be saved, but that is not sufficient. To enter into the kingdom of the heavens, we also need to do the will of the Heavenly Father. Hence, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but those who call on the Lord and also do the will of the Heavenly Father will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, since entering into the kingdom of heavens requires doing the will of the Heavenly Father, it is clearly different from entering into the kingdom of God through regeneration or the new birth that we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verses 3 and 5, where Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, saying that except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So entering into the kingdom of God is very different than entering into the kingdom of heavens, which is doing the will of the Heavenly Father. While entering into the kingdom of God is being born of the divine life, but entering into the kingdom of heavens is through the living of that divine life daily in our day-to-day life. Verse 22, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, was it not in your name that we prophesied, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name did many works of power? So that day, many will come to me and say that day. That day is referring to the day of the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 5, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10, they all speak about the judgment seat of Christ. And we read that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of everything that we have done in this life. We have to be very careful in our day-to-day living in the sight of God. Verse number 23, and then I will declare to them, who? The people who prophesied, who cast out demons, who did many works of power. Jesus says that, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. What does it mean here? I never knew you. New here means approved. The same word in Romans 7:15 is translated acknowledge. You never acknowledged. I never knew you. I never acknowledged you. The Lord never approved those who in His name prophesied, cast out demons, did many works of power, but did these things not according to the will of the Heavenly Father. The Lord did not deny that they did these things. But he considered those things as lawlessness, because they were not done according to the will of the Heavenly Father. They were not done in line with the divine will of God. Thus, those who do these things, even in the name of the Lord, will not enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but will depart from the Lord, that is, be excluded from the manifestation of the kingdom in the coming age. Verse number 24. Everyone therefore who hears the words of mine and does them shall be likened to a prudent man who built his house upon the rock. The rock here, there are people who say that this rock is Christ himself, who builds the foundation on Christ. But there is another way how you can read this passage. The rock will also refer to the word of God, the word that reveals the will of the Father who is in the heavens, the word of Christ, Jesus Christ, as he reveals the will of the Father. The living and the work of the kingdom people must be founded on the word of the new king for accomplishing the will of the Heavenly Father. That is, to enter in through the narrow gate and walk the constricted way that leads to life. Verse number 25. And the rain descended, and the rivers came, and the winds blew, and they beat against that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. You see here, the house was built on the rock. And here the rains are coming down, the rivers or the waters are coming up, and the winds are blowing. It might be interpreted like this: the rains which descends from the heaven is from God, and that is of God. The rivers which are coming from the earth are of man. And the winds that blows from the air are of Satan. So these are the experiences that the kingdom people will experience in their life. It can be, the troubles can come with the permission of God as he allows the rains to come down, or it can be through man as he brings trouble in our life, or it can be through Satan who blows and tries to disrupt the life of the child of God. All those will test the living and the work of the kingdom people. But if the house is built upon the rock, which is the word of God, their houses will not shatter. And the house that is built upon the rock does not fall because the work that was used to build is built with gold, silver, and precious stones. The work that can stand the testing fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 12 and 13 reads like this. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved as through the fire. So this might mean the house consists of the precious stones, gold, silver, and precious stones. And if you are building your house on the word of God with things that endure, things that are of eternal value, that will remain. But when you come down to verse number 26, and everyone Who hears these words of mine and does not do them shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. So, the other category is that the ones who hear the word, which would refer to the kingdom people again, but who are not living and doing what is according to God's will, who hears the word but does not do them. You may go to church, hear the sermon, you may read the Bible, you may know the truth, but you do not do it. They are likened like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. What is sand? Sand refers to the human concepts. It refers to the natural ways. So if we live and work according to our human concepts and natural ways, our living and work will be founded on a sinking sand. This is equivalent to entering in through the wide gate and walking in the broad way that leads to destruction. Verse number 27, and the rains descended, the rivers came, and the winds blew, and they dashed against the house, and it fell because its fall was great. So the house that was built on sand is a house that falls. It is like the work that is built with wood, grass and stubble. A work that will be burned by the testing fire. However, the builder himself will be saved. We read that again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 to 15. So, the experiences of the kingdom people are the same. The testings are the same. They can come from three different sources. From God, who will test. From man, who will trouble. And from Satan, who will tempt. And when all this comes against the works that you are building, if your works are of precious stones, gold, silver, precious stones, as they are tested through the fire will stand, our works will stand, the house will stand upon the rock, even though all these elements will come against it. But if your foundation is built upon human concepts and natural thinking and carnal ways, what will happen is that when all these elements will strike against you, the house will not continue to stand, it will fall down, and great will be the fall. The fall will be great, and people will see this and will bring a lot of dishonor to the kingdom of God. Verse number 28 and 29, and when Jesus finished his words, the crowd were astonished or astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not like their scribes. So Christ, as the new king of the kingdom of the heavens, spoke with authority in decreeing the new law of the kingdom. So this concludes the constitution that Jesus gave to the kingdom people. So chapters 5 to 7, Jesus has spoken many things concerning the nature, the influence, the law, the righteous deeds, the material riches, the principles in dealing with others, and the ground of our living and the work that we do. I pray to God that we may truly live according to the constitution that the King has established. We may truly do what is pleasing in the sight of God. We may truly walk in the narrow way, enter into the narrow gate, and walk in the way that will lead to life. The way will be hard. It won't be popular, but if you as a child of God decide to do that, you will be rewarded with eternal life. And I pray that God would bless you to do that. This concludes lesson number 14. And in the next lesson, we are going to begin with chapter 8 of Matthew, where Jesus is going to continue in his ministry. May the Lord bless you with these words.